from Digitiki.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Rum Stumbler. I'm your host, Freddie Goodin. We have an exciting show for you this evening, right here in Paradise, with plenty of dinner plates prepared at tableside and bottomless tropical cocktails served all evening long. All while you take in the island magic of music, mermaids, and more. And now for the exotic sounds of the Eddie Swirls Orchestra, with special guests Clark Benny and the Bowie.
Welcome to the Quiet Village. Welcome back for another visit here at the Quiet Village. I'm your host, DigiTiki, coming to you direct from DigiTiki.com, broadcasting from deep within the jungly heart of the Quiet Village. And I am back after a long hiatus. I really appreciate that for those of you writing in. Always worried that I'm ending the show. I'm not ending the show. The holidays came and went, and it really just a lot of things pushed my schedule back and back and back, and I really wanted to get this thing out a lot sooner, but unfortunately I was unable to. Got another project coming up with three other really talented tiki musicians that are, we're all doing a collaboration together, and I didn't say a word. Hopefully we'll be able to preview that in coming episodes. It's not quite ready. So that's really been taking up some time as well. But anyway, that intro was the dead giveaway for who I've got on the show tonight. And I have Rick Rossler coming in. Actually, I'm going to him instead. Rick Rossler, who is one half of the wonderful duo Tiki Tronic. And if you've ever been to Tiki Caliente or to Circa Caliente in Palm Springs, you've seen Tiki Tronic. They are really wonderful, really fun duo, and really nice guys. And they just have a blast doing 80s and stuff with, you know, synthesizers and wild percussion. And I just get a kick out of them. Well, Rick Rossler, who is part of Tiki Tronic, has just produced his own record under the name Freddie Canoe, Live at the Rum Stumbler. I love that title. And it's almost like a live recording of a cabaret show, a tiki-themed cabaret show. And you're going to love it. He's going to be on. So that intro actually was the intro to the record, and I thought it was kind of perfect to use it as the intro to the show. So I'm going to be playing some tracks and talking to him earlier, but then I'm also going to be playing some music that that I've discovered recently, as well as some music that was sent to me by some listeners. And I really love it when listeners email me and turn me on to some new music. I just love it. But right now, we're going to start by playing a couple of tracks from the new Freddie Canoe record, Live at the Rum Stumbler. And we're going to start off with one of my favorites. It's called Midnight Jungle Ride, right here on the Quiet Village.
It is time for a one-of-a-kind performance. Let's raise the curtain. In front of you is a 4,000-gallon water tank made from professional 2-inch-thick glass. Above that, a custom-made microphone that will submerge to amplify the beautiful tones of the Gill Sisters. Singing Mermaids, the Gill Sisters. Stumbler, we follow all safety protocols, so let's hear it for the waitstaff this evening. Why don't we give them a round of applause? Has anybody tried the beef bourguignon? The beef bourguignon.
Okay, that is a really cool tune right there. That was actually a tune called Bass of Space from Lex Easy and the Mambo Club from their album Performs Unique 100. Lexi Easy and the Mambo Club Performs Unique 100. Now, that's actually a Latin jazz group that I just happened to come across. And I heard that track, Bass of Space, and I was like, wow, that's very exotica. The rest of the album is not quite as exotica. It's more Latin jazz, but I love Latin jazz. So definitely worth checking out. You can find that on Spotify and all kinds of streaming. Before that, we heard Via Mardot. Now, she is actually an artist that's out of the Northeast. I don't have it in front of me, Michigan or someplace like that. Bob and Wendy C, who are regular listeners, and they were interviewed on the show. They are always turning me on to new stuff, and they showed me that tune called "Pining" from it's a 2023 single from this artist Via Mardot. I had not heard of her before. She's mostly, I don't know what you'd call it, like emo, pop, rock, kind of dark. That track is very exotica sounding. Some of the stuff she does can be exotica, but it's also a little more edgy. It's fun. I do like her stuff. So thank you, Bob and Wendy. That's great. Before that, we heard a twofer from my guest who's coming up, Freddie Canoe from the Live at the Rum Stumbler, released in this year, 2024. The first track we heard was Midnight Jungle Ride, and then we heard a really fun tune, The Singing Mermaids, and you heard them going, it's really fun. I mean, it's like, the whole album is like you're listening to this long-lost variety stage show from a tiki restaurant with all these different weird acts, and it's kind of cool. And we're going to talk about how he put all that together. I also want to talk for a moment. I'm going to play a track next from a project that I was working on. It's not my own project. I'm actually I'm part of the band, the Voodoo Five. Skip Heller, really good friend of mine. He's been on the show a couple of times. In fact, we did a two-part film noir, which was a lot of fun because he's a big film noir buff. But he has put together a group called the Voodoo Five, and we've done a recording. In fact, we've actually done two recordings now, and the second one is just not out yet. That's another thing that was on my my meeting calendar this recently. So the Voodoo Five, actually, that name is an homage to Robert Drasnin, who did the Voodoo record in 59, and he also did a follow-up Voodoo 2, which Skip produced. And then Drasnin's last record was Voodoo 3, which he never finished before he had passed away. The recordings were finished, but Skip was tasked with finishing that, so he produced Voodoo 3 as well. So the name is kind of an homage to Robert Drasnin. But it's a fun group. We've played several times at the a lot of various places around Los Angeles, including the Bamboo Club. And I'm going to play a track for you now. This is actually an original tune by Skip Heller that we've done. This is a track, and I'm yours truly on Vibes, of course. This is a really cool tune called Mirage Band. So check it out. It was released this year, 2024. Well, actually, you're probably hearing this in 25, but it was released in 2024. Skip Heller's Voodoo 5. Definitely check it out. It's on CD, LP, and you can find it streaming. So here is Mirage Band, right here on The Quiet Village. was basically a two for me right there. Kicking off that set was Skip Heller's new group, the Voodoo Five, with yours truly on Vibes. And that was a track from the new album called Skip Heller's Exotic Sounds of the Voodoo Five. And that's our new record. Check that out. And that last track was a really good friend of mine, Darren Long, out of Nashville, who's just turning out great lounge music left and right. That was a brand new tune called Samba at the Reef, which is an homage to the Reef Bar at the Caliente Tropics in Palm Springs, where we have the Tiki Caliente weekend event. And that was under his group, the Tiki Delights. And that was, again, yours truly on Vibes. So there's two things that show you why I've been so busy lately. I also wanted to let you know about another project that has just dropped, and I believe it is already sold out. I have been playing with Jason Lee, who's famous for Jason Lee and the Riptides, wonderful guitarist, and he and I have done this EP. He started a group called The Dark Entities, which is just me and him, and put out a 7-inch EP on House of Taboo Records. It's gold vinyl. It's very gothic. You know, it's not, I would not call it tiki. I would say kind of like goth meets tiki. It's very cool, very dark, very interesting. And I really had a lot of fun working with Jason on that one. Anyway, House of Taboo released it right at Thanksgiving. And as I understand, it may be completely sold out as of right now. So that's three different things I've been working on. Plus, there's another project I mentioned at the top that I am hoping to be able to reveal soon, just not quite yet. And it does involve Darren Long of the Tiki Delights as well, which is going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, let's move on now to the interview. I was one of the things I mentioned at the top of the show, and also involves the Voodoo Five, was we played at the Bamboo Club in Long Beach. And Rick Rossler from Tiki Tronic, and also AKA Freddie Canoe from his new record, Live at the Rum Stumbler. Turns out he lives not far from the Bamboo Club. So rather than having him join via satellite, I'm like, let's meet up at the Bamboo Club after the Voodoo Five show. So we recorded there. You can hear that in the background. It's very lively there at the Bamboo Club. Cool place. So anyway, let's move on now. This is my interview I did with Rick Rossler. Actually, I did this quite a while ago. I did this before Thanksgiving. And I do apologize, Rick, for not getting this out sooner. My schedule just got away with me, and I guess I'm not that good at handling my schedule. Anyway, here we are. Let's get down to this interview I've been wanting to share with you guys for quite some time. Rick Rossler, a.k.a. Freddie Canoe, and we met up and talked at the Bamboo Club in Long Beach.
So I am here with Rick Rossler from Tiki Tronics, one half of Tiki Tronics, and now he's also Freddie Canoe, right?
Well, yep, I've been Freddie Canoe since this. I've been Freddie Canoe since the start of Tiki Tronic.
Oh,
a little bit even before that.
Okay,
yeah, so that's my name, Freddie Canoe.
I love it.
Yeah, it sounds better than Rick Rossler. So, but oddly enough, like Captain Coconut in Tiki Tronic before Tiki Tronic, we played music together for years. I was Captain, and he was Wheels.
Wheels.
Yeah, because he was a fast guy back in the day when he played baseball. So anyway, as soon as we started the band, we switched. Somehow he was anointed Captain Coconut, and I went to Freddie Canoe. So
I like it.
Yeah, you know, you gotta have.
I like it.
Something that's easy to remember.
Your brand new record.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I can't remember the title of the record.
God, this interview is going horribly. No,
I know. No, it's awful. Yes, I'm prepared.
You ready for this? It's Freddie Canoe. live at the Rum Stump.
At the Rum Stump. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
That's cool. And yeah. I love the artwork. It has a cool record.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thanks.
So give me the whole back. Sounds like you've got a backstory for this, right?
Well, I wanted to do something Exotica because of being turned on to Exotica music for, you know, a number of years and just thinking, wow, I'd love to be able to experiment in that world.
Absolutely.
And being a guitarist and playing some other instruments that have a double bass at home that a Tijuana version.
Oh, cool.
That I kind of learned a little bit on. The way that the project started was I wanted to experiment and try all these instruments, and to my benefit is I work at a community college where those instruments are all there. The vibraphone, the timpanis, the everything.
It's not cheap.
No, I did not go out and purchase these things. So I basically started with the ideas, writing the songs on my keyboard, my piano at home, and then going to work in the evening or on the weekends or whatever, and learning some of the instruments, never mastering necessarily, but like learning how to play them a little bit, and then just tracking them at work on my in the evening.
Do you have the recording equipment at the school, or you brought it there?
I have stuff on my own, but I also use some. I definitely used, I won't name the school, but I used a lot of gear from the school. And the music instructor who runs it, I asked him, he's like, yeah, no sweats, come on in and use it. So
right on.
I was able to mess around with a couple different double basses and try them out and see which one I was to try to play a little easier, and there was a lot of editing, but I did learn to enjoy and play. I really do love playing the double bass, so I'm thinking that's maybe a little more of that in my future, I hope.
I was going to say that's your next conquest.
Schlepping that around is a bit of a challenge, but
anyway. Not a lot of people play, and it's such a beautiful sound. I love that sound.
Yeah.
So that leads to my next question. Everything on that record is you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
I love that.
It was fun. It's just a fun experimenting with a lot of instruments.
I love that you put in like the old school where it's like, here's how we recorded it. You know, this was recorded using state of the art, blah, blah, blah. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And I think I miss that from vinyl. I wouldn't say miss it because it's there, but like the history of recording is documented on a lot of vinyl, you know? And I would read like Enoch Light, some of his Command albums, and it's very descriptive on how he recorded it. And they would talk about the mic they use, of course, and the room, and you know, it's multi-track, or not even multi-track. It would be three mics used on this album, you know, at one time in different rooms. And anyway, so big fan of like those old record, those albums where you could read all that information. And I geek out on it because I'm a sound guy.
Sometimes it would have the diagram of where the instruments were.
Yeah.
It always cracked me up because I always thought of like mom and dad, middle America, reading that, going, I don't know what the hell it is, but it's forcing me to think this album is awesome.
Yeah, it must be good.
It must be good.
Well, that's what my approach is. I was hoping that would help sell my album.
Yeah.
But I do like that, and the Enoch Light thing I wanted to bring up because what fascinated about as a sound person, like enjoying not only the drastic stereo pan and all that stuff, but Enoch Light experiment with mag tape recording, which was groundbreaking, which mag tape is what you use to shoot movies on for sound.
Yeah.
And it's a thicker tape generally, and there's more you can put on it in terms of, you know, recording quality.
It's perforated like the film.
Yeah. It's perforated, and it's just a large format audio tape. So the sound quality of his Command albums like inspired me to try the best I could to kind of mimic anything.
Your
you
own
know.
Command.
Yeah,
record.
But of course, you know, missing a few elements, but of gear, but.
I will say, those Command records and the Enoch Light and the Terry Snyder, they sounded really good.
Yeah, they did.
They really did sound good. I mean, they were crisp.
And they were recorded 50s? I think it was like the late 50s. So, good stuff.
Those hold up.
Yeah.
Tell me about Tiki Tronic, because I know a lot of people listening probably have seen you, but may not know, and then the people who don't know, Tiki Tronic, and I have one of your CDs.
You do, you accidentally ended up with one.
You're not aware, Tiki Tronic is a duo, and they're friggin' awesome, because you guys play cool 80s stuff, but you do it, like, on this
balafone. Yep.
Balafone, and, like, wild, like, percussion. It's cool. So tell me about how you guys got that together, too.
Well, I guess I should start saying that when people say, what is Tiki music? Tiki Tronic is Tiki music. That's it. When you think Tiki, it's Tiki Tronic.
It is.
It didn't go from there.
Okay, there you go.
It is...
I'll buy that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to convince a lot of people that's true, but I know that. Tiki Tronic started, like said Andy, or Captain Coconut, myself, been buddies since way back, since he had a studio back in La Mesa back in the 90s, and we'd record together. I met him through a band. I had an indie band.
Cool.
And recorded my emo tracks.
Shoegaze is cool. I dig those tunes. Yeah.
But anyway, that's how we met, and we always hung out after that, just recording. He'd invite me over to his studio, but he had a lot of good equipment. So he had a quad board at one point. So anyway, going way back, but we basically started Tiki Tronic because we would go to Tiki Caliente.
Yeah.
And we just thought, we're musicians, we should play music, you know? So we should play at Tiki events, and we love Tiki, and Andy is a party animal, and we have a blast hanging out together. So we thought, if we could do a two-piece band, we could have a lot of fun. So
more economical, that way.
It's definitely economical, and we tell Rory we're the Walmart of bands, so...
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you, and love.
Yes. You guys are fun because you were playing. And
we did Cure. Yeah,
it was the Cure.
Yeah, we've done Depeche Mode. We've done a lot of 80s songs. I'm trying to think.
Videoing and sending it to my wife. I'm like, right here, this is it. Because she loves 80s.
Oh, cool.
And so she's like, finally, you guys got some good music.
I thought she said,
like, thank you.
I thought she was going to say, they're destroying that song.
Mm-mm.
And that's what our goal is, not necessarily destroy it, but, tweak it enough, you know, that maybe you'll recognize it.
It's fun.
But we have a good time.
They're going through a tight one. The kids are losing their minds. Let's break up.
Having a blast and hanging out together, just laughing and playing. And it's always a challenge to play. I always enjoy it, but we have some shticks and stuff like that. It's always a challenge for me to, like, come up with new shticks when we play the same crowd or audience, because it's like they've all heard it before.
They still love it.
They still love it. Okay. It's one of those things where I don't want to get in my head too much that I'm saying the same jokes or doing the same stuff. Andy's always like, don't talk. Just play and sing. All right.
See, I'm partial to throwing the jokes.
Yeah, you're great.
So let's talk more about your record. The instrumentation, what do you got?
Vibraphone.
Okay.
A lot of percussions, congas, bongos, castanet, guitar. electric bass. Theremin. Theremin. Yeah, like I end up getting a real theremin, not a single one they use for Tron, but I got a an older Moog theremin.
Oh, nice.
That I had to learn. That was by far the hardest instrument I had to try to figure out. So that was a lot of trial and error. But yeah, so I'd like to add that because of the element of spookiness and an almost like operatic voice, you know, adding to the music. So. Mm-hmm. The vibes were interesting because they had this really cool old, I can't remember the name of the company, if it's Moser, is it a, or there's a, I think that's the name of the company that made the vibraphone. Oh, does that sound
familiar?
Musser, okay. And it didn't work.
Oh.
And so the instructor that at the school, the music department, said, oh yeah, just you can play it, whatever, it doesn't work. I'm like, all right, well, do you have a, you know, some sort of belt to make it vibraphone again? No, it's broken. So
it just is what it is.
Is what it is. So I thought, okay, I can either record it and then add the vibraphone effect later. I tried that, didn't sound very good. But, you know, thanks to the internet, looked online, and there was I got a band for it, a belt for it, mm-hmm. for $8. Put it in, and then it was all, you know, the students had handled it for decades, because it was probably 30 years old at least, and it was squeaking and all this stuff, so I had to duct tape it, you know, spray WD-40. I put blankets over parts of it, and I used like a wood clamp to hold the sort of braces together. Finally got it so it was quiet when I played it. So it was
That's awesome.
I enjoyed the whole process. I just happy to finish the project. You know?
That's very cool. So the concept. Tell me about the concept. Because you've got the Rum Stumbler.
Yeah. That goes back to in Germany. I lived in Germany in 2006 to 2012, and I played in a tiki band out there that we started.
Really?
Yeah, it was it's called the Tiki Kings.
That's cool.
And we, a buddy who's a couple expats out there, I worked at a school. My buddy was art instructor Rodney, or Juke Randalls, he went by. Really great guitarist. He had all these art books, and he had Sven's Tiki Modern just came out, but we were checking it out in about 2000 something, 8 or 9 or whatever. And he showed me that. He showed me a Polynesian art or Oceanic Arts book, and because he had this whole art studio, we decided to create masks and create a band because he was a guitar player, for rockabilly guitar player, and decided to create a tiki band, surf, and do a whole thing around that. So we had these big masks, tiki masks that we had to look through. That we wore.
Oh my gosh!
And had to look through the mouths to play and see anything. And we had a lot of people, a couple people join that were just that were German, local, and so it was a straight edge punk drummer who got totally into it. It was all surf style tropical music we made up. And we had a dancer who was Queen Atata, and she wore this incredible mask she made and danced. Anyway, so long story short is that we did that, and we toured around a little bit in Germany. And then we also did an opening band. Because we had masks on, nobody knew who we were, so we'd come out as the opening band.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
And then come back as the band.
Oh my God, brilliant.
So we did the one called, we called it the name Rum Stumblers. And we did classic Hawaiian, or 60s, 50s, 60s hits from the days, doing Sea Cruise, doing, you know, a lot of the 50s songs. That. And
that's cool.
We do harmony and play ukulele and balafone. I had the balafone at the time. So we'd play, we did the like Frankfurt Tourist Board concert, you know. as Rumstumbler. So that name Rumstumbler stuck with me. I love the name, and I thought I'd use it for this
album. That would be a cool name for a bar.
Yeah, I think it would.
So live at the Rumstumbler. I love that.
The record.
Yeah, what would you like? Like a little weird odd facts, or you want to, obviously you want to know how much and where it is.
Yeah. The record is basically a concept that I've always wanted to, I've always enjoyed, and part of the Tiki Tronic part is kind of like the really bad lounge act.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed that fail of a lounge performer who just can't get it together. And I don't know where it comes from. It was, maybe it was Saturday Night Live with Bill Murray or something, but
right there with
Dee Martin, or it actually influenced some of the Dean Martin stuff where he would do a show. And but not that he was a bad lounge performer, but there was definitely some antics that he did in there that I always enjoyed, that I liked and picked up and used, like where he is a singing cowboy and he's sitting there on the stage and the music's going and he's singing in front of the audience, and then all of a sudden a harmonica solo starts and there's no harmonica player, and he quickly pulls out his harmonica and it shows that it's all backing tracks. So, you know, but anyway, the lounge performance part, I thought I really enjoyed that stuff. And I, you know, like Richard Cheese and all that stuff. So, and in your, you know, the way you do your shows and stuff like that.
So where can people find this now?
You can find it on Bandcamp.
I
think it's like freddycanoe.bandcamp.com. I think that's what it is. So Freddie Canoe on Bandcamp. Yeah.
And I will have a link.
Yeah. So, and then I'm going to put it on, you know, on other, like,
and you can get the vinyl too, because you have very nice vinyl.
Thank you. Yeah, vinyl. I got it on vinyl, and then I have it on digital.
Yeah,
I've dropped it on digital.
Dropped it.
Yes.
Don't break it. Just drop it.
Just drop it.
Right on.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's available.
So let me ask you about the art.
Oh, yeah, please. I would love to tell you about the art.
We've had a few mind ties.
So, the art. Let me tell you about the art. Marty, let me tell you. So, I had an artist who agreed to do it, and didn't work out, and I was hoping that this person would do it. Didn't work out. That's fine. I was thinking, my God, what am I going to do? So I looked at, I almost thought AI, and I'm like, no, I've worked this hard on this album. I'm not doing AI.
It's worth at least pondering.
Maybe an influence, you know.
Influencing, yeah.
So I didn't go that route, but I did, I just looked around, got some ideas, and maybe, you know, like, oh, I don't know. I didn't steal anything. I cut this part out.
We'll cut it.
I worked hard on the art.
Right. There you go.
And anyway, what happened was, I thought, well, I don't have an artist. I'll do it myself. A lot of trial and error. I was very happy with it. It came out, and I drew all these people on my iPad 2. And if you look at the far right, I have a lady who's trying to smoke a cigarette, but it's upside down. And it looks weird because, you know, you wouldn't do it that way. But anyway, that was
it. I didn't notice that.
Cut all that out.
No, that's funny. Sorry.
But look, every time I look at it, I'm like, that looks terrible. Like,
no.
She's smoking a cigarette, it's upside down.
It actually has a cool vibe to it.
And there's a man in the very middle that looks like Biden asleep at the table. So anyway,
secret hidden message.
Yeah, I don't know. It just came out. Right. So
Paul is dead. Right?
Paul, yes, the walrus.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! That's
so
great.
Anyway, it was fun. I enjoyed making it. I hope people enjoy it. And
And it's Freddie Canoe live at the Rumstumbler.
Yes.
And it is very cool because I have been listening to it and I love it. It's really good. I enjoy it. Because it's got the retro, harkens back to the sound a little bit, you know, but it's also got some fun stuff in there. It's just got a little quirky and it's fun, and I love that.
Yeah, oh great, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I don't give money, I don't give reimbursements or money back for purchasing, so if you got it, thank you.
Yes. Please go get it. Well, you know, when I started this podcast, there was probably maybe two bands that were making Exotica. And then more and more people get into it. And I'm like, yes, yes, more, more. Let's go. Let's keep that genre alive because I love it. And everybody has a slightly different take on it, you know? And I just absolutely love the fact that people are making it again, you know? So
yeah. I mean, it's such a fun style of music to get into because it's, you know, it has this kind of the jazz elements, but also just the historical context of it and the bird sounds of all that. So it's just a fun.
It's got a little. It's
relaxing.
Got a little bit of the element of kitsch to it.
Yeah.
Which is hip now. You know, there was a point where it's, you know, it's like houses and clothes and everything. There's a point where it's not cool because it's still too new. And then years later, oh, bell bottoms are in again. Wide ties are in again. Wide, you know, all that stuff's hip again. And it's like, oh, if you only held on to that a little bit longer.
But what's great about the Exotica stuff is the more you read about it or learn about it, it's that whole, the whole experience.
Yeah.
People sit like, the reason kind of like I want to do the Live at the Mai Tai, or Live at the Mai Tai.
Live at the Rum. Mai Tai, which is almost empty.
Live at the Rum Stumbler, whatever the album is. But that the imagination flows with that, because in a sense that when you think of Exotica music, because you think about the setting that this was played in, these guys were played in. Peaches is here with me.
But not Herb, right? Peaches, but not Herb.
And she was, she inspired me with the, kind of the, what is the Hawaiian dish to comment on in the lounge part of the album? I was like, okay, I need a dish here. Like, she's like, crab rangoon. Okay, cool.
Crab rangoon.
And then I was like, what's another one? She's like, oh, pineapple fried rice. Come on, where have you been? And then she had to throw in beef bourguignon.
Beef bourguignon, yes.
I thought that's a good one for.
Well, technically, guys, it's beef bourguignon.
Boof,
yes. I'm so sorry. Boof, bourguignon. So
we laughed about that.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's all those old dishes that used to be like when you went to a fancy restaurant, at lobster thermidor, which nobody makes anymore.
Steak Diane.
Steak Diane, yes.
Wait, I'm sorry, but you know who? Billy Reid's had Steak Diane.
Oh, really? Oh,
sure. I believe they do.
Really? Yeah. And Chateaubriand.
Oh, Chateaubriand? Actually, yeah, you're right. Steak Diane's in a restaurant in Pasadena too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, Bill Reid's has everything.
Yeah,
it's one hell of a memory. Bill Reid's.
I love
Springs.
Billy Reid's.
Go to Billy Reid's.
Yes, Billy Reid's is awesome.
They'll make you a nice coconut cream pie. You'll never forget it.
So, thank you, Rick.
Thank
for
you,
joining
man.
Me.
I really appreciate you having me on.
The record is
Freddie Canoe Live at the Rum Stumbler.
Yes. And I will have a link on my website for it. So, aloha.
Aloha.
Big mahalo to Rick Rossler, a.k.a. Freddie Canoe, for coming out, or actually meeting up with him at the Bamboo Club, which was a lot of fun. It was noisy. It was hopping. It was a lot of fun talking with him. So definitely check that out. I am going to have links to Rick's Bandcamp as well as Tikitronic. Got to check out Tikitronic. They are a lot of fun. And if you are a frequenter of Tiki Caliente out in Palm Springs, you're familiar with Tikitronic. They are so much fun. So anyway, under the name Freddie Canoe, the album is called Live at the Rum Stumbler, and it is a blast. It is on heavy rotation right now in the Quiet Village. I just love it because it's like listening to a live show, like an old-timey live Polynesian floor show of some kind. Twisted, by the way. Twisted Polynesian floor show. Anyway, so big thanks to Rick for coming on the show. My Mai Tai is empty, and that means we've come to the end of another visit here at the Quiet Village. But before we go, I'm not actually going to do the normal sign-off that I always do about visiting Digitiki and just don't say aloha and all that stuff, which is very important. But I think you guys know it by now. There's one more last piece of news that I didn't put in the front of the show for levity reasons. But actually, my father-in-law, Robert Martinez, Bob Martinez, passed away in September, and that was another thing that kind of took the calendar out a little bit. And for the and why I'm telling you this is because I actually interviewed Bob. He was a huge jazz cat, and he actually played trumpet in his younger days. But he was a huge jazz fan and had gone to see so many huge jazz names. And I interviewed him episode 55 in 2013. And then I also did a jazz bonus where I let him pick his favorite jazz tunes. I did an hour jazz bonus, which technically is episode 50. It's not 56, but it's a jazz bonus. So I just want to leave you with a Chet Baker tune that I thought was kind of appropriate. Not too down, but kind of an up one. You know, he introduced me to Chet Baker. He was a huge fan of trumpet players. In fact, we have his trumpet right here. We had it restored, and it's sitting right here. So I'm going to leave you with a lovely tune from Chet Baker Sings. This is Chet Baker with My Buddy. So until next time, everyone, cherish the ones that are with you, friends and family alike. Take care of yourself, and till we meet again, aloha.
Miss your voice, the touch of your hand, just long to know that you understand, my buddy, my buddy, your buddy.